Welcome to Live Talks, a podcast by Live, a tech and logistics company headquartered in Abu Dhabi. On Live Talks, we tackle fintech, logistics, business, and best practices in the workplace. I'm Karim Bakhash, the VP of Strategy at Live Global, and I will be your host. Welcome to a new episode of Live Talks. Today's topic is going to be about on-demand logistics, and my guest is Adam Garg, a logistics advisor. Adam, if you want to give Agam, if you want to do a small presentation about yourself.
Sure, why not? Thanks for having me, first of all, Karim, over here. Pretty excited for the day. And my name is Agam Garg. I'm a logistics advisor. Prior to that, I was a GM at Yango Delivery, and I'm an ex-director of logistics at Talabat in Dubai for over 4 years now. And I manage hundreds and thousands of deliveries on a daily basis. I've changed the way customers place an order on the app, the riders deliver those orders, and how restaurants or partners prepare those orders. So excited to be here with you today and discuss on the topic which you have for me.
Great. I think just for the kind of the listeners and the viewers, just a small introduction about kind of what we're going to be discussing today. I think logistics in general have evolved quite significantly in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
We've covered that topic in a few previous episodes,
yeah,
but we've never looked at, you know, talking about the on-demand delivery, especially when we look at, you know, the progression of how things have gone through the last few years. And some companies try to touch with the 15 minutes on-demand delivery. Others are doing quick commerce now. And these have evolved quite significantly from the days of, you know, waiting for something to be delivered,
yeah,
you know. And the big change has come. Obviously, this has been pushed a lot by, you know, the big food delivery platforms that came in the past 5 years and changed the game on the market.
Absolutely.
These came in and decided that from now on, food delivery is going to be simple. You go in, you order, and you're going to get it within whatever time, 60 minutes at that time, now 45 minutes, whatever is the time frame, but it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
And that pushed a lot of other businesses to rethink how they interact with their customers in terms of delivery, because you know, the bar was set very high by the platforms. So everybody else that went into that game needed to compete, and that pushed logistics, because you need logistics in behind to do that. Obviously, it's complicated, it's costly, it's not easy, and tech plays a very big thing within that logistics. So I think I want to go today to talk to you about, you know, how things have evolved, challenges, spend a lot of time on tech because this is something that we do and we help our customers, and then, you know, lessons learned about some of the few things that appeared and disappeared lately. And we talk about the future, where we could go. So that way, what we have in mind, let's probably start how you've seen. You've been in this business for quite a few years. You have very long experience. So tell me more about how things have evolved in the last 5 years when you look at delivery and your experience and the kind of the exponential growth of that segment.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's talk about it. So look, Kareem, I think on demand as an industry, I think it's not more than 10 to 12 years old. I'm talking about a time of companies like Zomato, Swiggy back in India, DoorDash in US, probably Talabat in GCC region, Meituan in China. None of these companies are more than 12 years old. And at that point of time, they were just trying to figure out how to do deliveries. People wanted food, their gifts, some of the other items to be delivered. And it was into pretty nascent phase. And in next 6 to 7 years, I think the companies just got some kind of growth. They were like into their initial stage of growth, and they were figuring out what is the right mix, how, what kind of tech needs to be built, how customers' behavior needs to be changed. Logistics or last mile delivery was not that mature at that point of time. Where things have changed really drastically, I think COVID was a main trigger point. I remember I joined a logistics company or a food aggregator right when pandemic had started.
Right.
And when pandemic had started, I think we were not doing that many deliveries. I think probably it was a four-digit count of delivery. Probably, again, four-digit count of riders at that point of time. We were not available all across UAE, probably in 2 to 3 Emirates only. We were just delivering food. That too mainly was being delivered by the partners, not by the aggregator themselves. So when COVID had happened, you and me, everyone was sitting inside their homes. We could not fetch anything on our own, and everything had to come to us. The demand was staggering, and everyone wanted everything to be delivered to them. That's where the rise of on-demand logistics has started booming up big time. I remember when I had started at that point of time, exactly 4.5 years before, the delivery time on an average used to be 60 minutes, and customers were okay with that. Now it is 30 minutes, and customers are pretty selective even about that. They might not be okay even if it gets 5 minutes late. In terms of, if we just talk about Dubai, I think deliveries used to start from old Dubai, and the last most region for deliver, I think it was until Marina and JLT only, even Jebel Ali was not covered. And I was being asked from several partners, hey man, the real estate developers, for example, Damac was extending into Damac Hills 2, which used to be called as Akoya.
Yeah.
Imar expanded into Imar South, and more people started living over there. And then those developers used to come to us. They were like, boss, can your riders deliver in that part of the world? And we were like, boss, it's a 30-kilometer distance from the restaurant to the residential itself. Probably we might not be able to. Safety could be a concern. Distance could be a concern. Food might get spoiled. But now, if you talk about today, I think you start from the farthest end of old Dubai. And I live in Imar South, by the way. So until Imar South, I think the deliveries are everywhere. You go to Alain Road, you go to Al Maktoum Airport. Even yesterday, I was in Dubai South in Expo City. I saw one of the food aggregator driver over there. So the industry has penetrated into all the areas, in all Emirates, in all areas of a city. The density of the restaurants has really increased. For example, I was giving an example of far areas where there were no restaurants. The aggregators have come up with this dark store or dark kitchen concept, wherein if restaurants are not available, they open their dark store, dark kitchen on their own, and they start processing orders from within 5 to 10 kilometers.
Correct.
That's how they have penetrated big time. If we compare 5 years and now, I think the cost of delivery, it was not less than 20 dirham for sure. I remember when Uber Eats launched in Dubai, the delivery cost was over 30 dirham at delivery. And they were happy paying it.
That's staggering.
And 5 years before, it was not less than 18 dirham for sure. Right now, everyone knows it has reduced quite drastically, but it's not like the cost has reduced, but people are being paid less margin. Look, on-demand logistics, the entire game is all about number of deliveries per hour. At that point of time, there were less customers, less restaurants, and less riders delivering food. So let's say in 1 hour, there were only 0.8 deliveries which were happening.
Correct.
Right now in the market, in UAE, 1.5 deliveries are happening per hour.
Yeah.
So imagine the same driver who was delivering half the deliveries is able to deliver double the deliveries now, but the cost remains same. So that's how the cost of delivery has also reduced big time. So customers' expectations are increasing. They need orders to be delivered faster. Riders are able to earn more money. Aggregators are available everywhere. And one more comparison which we can discuss is earlier only food was being delivered. Then during COVID, groceries started getting delivered. Now, the clothes that we are wearing, we anticipate even those things to be delivered in the next 30 minutes. When a new iPhone comes in, people place an order on some of the aggregator platforms and they get their phones in the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So the market is really changing very rapidly, and especially I would say in this part of the world, customers are really spoiled.
Yeah.
They need everything. They don't do planning. Everything needs to be delivered in the next 30 minutes, max to max. And companies are really working to even further slash this delivery time down.
Yeah.
So time has really changed. Everything is moving towards on-demand, not just food. Even my car is being delivered on-demand. So when I have to send my car for servicing, I always call for a pickup service. They send a towing van, and in 1 hour, everything happens. Same thing for the delivery. So the market has changed that much.
But you said something that's very important, is the UAE is quite spoiled in delivery. It's not the same in other countries. Maybe the listeners don't know that if they're from the UAE, but you don't see the same thing when you go to Europe or in the US.
Yeah.
Maybe in the US a bit like here, but in the Europe, you would not see that intense reliance on delivery, which you see here in the UAE.
Yeah.
But interesting point on kind of delivery areas, because I remember when I moved to the UAE, that was a while ago, I was in Abu Dhabi, and we were just in front of the Abu Dhabi Marina, not Abu Dhabi mall and I wanted something delivered from there and I can see it from the window of where we were. And they said, no, you're outside of the delivery area. And we're like at 50 meters. But because of, you know, the limitations they had in delivery, it was prior to delivery platform. You remember, okay. like all the restaurants that used to deliver from their like own fleet.
WhatsApp
kind yeah, of you delivery. Yeah, WhatsApp where you call him, please, I want this to be ordered. Yeah. But that was the common thing to do anyways, you know. But yeah, things have evolved quite a lot. Yeah. But that puts a lot of pressure, right, on logistics, right? Mm. People, when they go and order something, a lot of the time, and if you talk with any consumer, they don't understand the complexity that comes with delivering in 30 minutes. Mm. You know, now, me having worked in logistics, I can see how difficult it is to kind of time these and have what you mentioned, utilization rates, to be kind of more than 1 and 1.3 and 1.5. Those are very high utilization rate when you think when they were at the 0.8. But that puts pressure on everything, like how, where do you put drivers, which technology, by the time it comes, what time to go to the restaurants, exactly at the right time to pick up the thing. So it's quite changed a lot, and that puts a lot of challenges. So maybe this is where we talk about kind of the challenges that, you know, a delivery platform or any companies that have a lot of drivers, like what are the challenges that you face in logistics, the typical ones?
So many of them. Look, I always have been telling my team, if you are in logistics, it's the most thankless job which you are doing. However, it takes a lot in the back end and you are like unsung heroes. There's a lot which goes on in the back end. However, the customer or the front end parties don't see that. In terms of challenges, I think you just touched a bit upon that. First is the demand supply planning. For example, in the beginning, when the company is small, let's say someone has 10 couriers and they want a good utilization of those 10 couriers over next 10 hours. However, you don't know starting 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. what would be your order distribution curve. And the industry, if you talk about food, I think lunch and evening time, dinner time is the peak. If you talk about quick commerce, which is grocery, people order before lunch, people order before dinner. If you talk about drinks, companies like Starbucks now, generally the orders happens during the breakfast and they happens during evening time. So there's not a flat curve of demand. Sometimes your couriers are needed more. You don't have enough couriers. And when you have enough couriers, you have basically less demand. So for logistics companies, the main challenge which comes up is, hey man, at what time, in what area, what is the demand which is expected and how many couriers I would need? So building such machine learning algorithms based on the historical orders, based on the historical demand, if you are able to predict, let's say tomorrow, how many couriers I would be needing in Bursa at 8 a.m., how many couriers I would be needing in Marina at 8 p.m., roughly how many orders you are expecting, that really helps you basically plan your supply and your demand well. That is one thing which I would say. Second is, I think as the demand is staggering in the last 5 years, there's an acute shortage of riders all across the globe. So as a company, and there's a cutthroat competition in this part of the world, because the delivery cost is lower as compared to, you touched upon, US and Europe, the delivery is growing big time in this region. However, the shortage of riders ends up impacting the service levels. Correct. For example, if you have more drivers, the delivery time would always be short. But if you have less drivers, more demand, you would be able to deliver more orders, but in more time. If the average delivery time was 30, now it would increase to 40. That means more calls are going to come to your customer care team and customers would be checking with you. Hey, man, your order was supposed to be delivered in 30 minutes. Where it is? So more strain on the customer care team, more strain on the dispatching team, and probably the customers might not be satisfied. You might need to come up with some retention schemes with customer credits and all. Basically, profitability goes for a toss. The customer experience goes for a toss. So having enough supply available all the time with you, you need to be really rider obsessed, rider focused. You need to be always thinking about increasing their earnings, having a good engagement with them, talking to them on a timely basis, hearing them out, and that would drive them to create a word of mouth about you as a company, and more riders would like to join your company. So I would say these two challenges would have been the biggest challenge of my stint so far in logistics. So one is demand supply management, Another one is acquisition of the supply and retaining that particular supply if you want to provide top-notch experience.
It's very interesting when you talk about kind of looking at it from the perspective of the rider, because we as consumer always look at things from the perspective of, you know, the tech, how, what are we ordering, and then receiving it, right? But we don't look at it from the perspective of, you know, there's riders, you have to take care of these, you have to put them in a location, you have to know where to put them, they have to go, they have to take the right order, they have to be good, they have to be a bit presentable also and come and give you the order. And it's a tough job, I mean, especially in heat, well, in the excessive heat, but it's well understood that, as you said, there's a shortage of rider also. Do you see a difference between regions on the challenges? Like, do you see kind of in the GCC different than in Africa, for example, or in Europe or in the US, or it's usually the same challenges that the companies face?
Look, region by region, there's a difference. I would say UAE is a special country or region, I would say, because 80% of the people who lives in UAE, they come from rest of the world.
Correct.
So any rider, whosoever is operating in UAE, they would have to take a visa, they would have to take a driving license. Basically, for you to become a driver, minimum you need 5 to 6 months. So even if you have supply, even if you have a body who can deliver for you, that body needs 6 months to learn to get a license, to get a visa, and then be, so you are already 6 months behind. If you go to, let's say, Saudi in US, in Europe, there are already tons of people.
Correct.
They call it gig economy. In UAE, the rider needs to be on a visa of the company if he wants to work as a rider. However, in rest of the world, I cannot say rest of the world. I think in majority of the regions, there is a gig economy. And in gig economy, people like you and me, after our work, we can log in on a platform app for 2 hours and we can keep on delivering.
Correct.
There's a shortage over there as well, but I think in this part of the world where riders need to be dedicated to one platform, for example, in UAE, a rider can work only on one platform.
Right.
They cannot work on many platforms.
Correct.
However, in gig economy, you can have 5 apps in your phone. You get an order from Uber, you get another order from DoorDash. Basically, you can be working on multiple platforms.
Correct.
And people like you and me, we can also log in on the platform.
Correct.
But how they operate is they always have these surge mechanisms and all, and they say, boss, more demand is coming up. So they send notifications to all the couriers. Hey, man, if you log in next 2 hours, I would be paying you 1.2x of your normal price.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they increase
the supply. It's like an Uber style, like the drivers of Uber in a gig economy again, not in this region. But when you have like in the US or something, they'll send you a message saying, if you come in now, I'm going to pay you more because they can see the demand coming.
Correct.
In.
If you talk about Africa, I think there's no shortage. However, basically, there could be shortage of vehicles over there.
Okay.
So there are enough people, unemployment is there, but enough services, for example, how to train the courier, how to empower them. You could have good earnings over here as well. The vehicles are not up to the mark. The market is not that regulated. So people can become riders, but no one is telling them to become a rider.
Yeah.
No one is empowering them. No one is providing that microfinancing for a vehicle so that he can start working as a rider. So every region brings a different, I would say, economics in place.
Very interesting. Let's now talk about maybe the role of technology. As you already know, we as Live have a delivery management solution that we offer to big customers that need to manage their fleet of drivers. That has become, as logistics has become more and more important for on-demand and last mile, the core of, you know, any company that wants to do it. A company could be a 3PL company, but could also be one of the large, you know, food operators that have a long, big fleet of drivers. So talk to me about more kind of the role of technology and how you see it as kind of critical for the operations and logistics.
It's extremely critical, Kareem. I think nothing, if you're operating at a scale, which definitely a logistics company has to, otherwise there's no better unit economics. There are millions of data points which you need to be keep measuring. Let me take some examples over here so that I'm able to provide a better context. Everyone knows nothing exists without technology these days. And especially in food tech, delivery tech, everything has to be based on technology. So back then, there was one problem, which was when our drivers were reaching the restaurants, they had to wait for some time.
Correct.
They didn't know when the order will be handed over by the restaurant to them. And then we figured out probably a rider is wasting 2 to 3 minutes just waiting over there. Then we had to find out, we never knew how much time a restaurant needs to prepare an order.
Correct.
Now, there could be an order of one pizza, there could be an order of 10 pizza. Definitely the time for preparation would be different. So we came up with a machine learning algorithm based on the item, based on the cuisine. Once 1,000 orders comes from a restaurant, the machine was able to predict roughly how much time this restaurant is going to take to prepare the food.
Correct.
Now, based on that preparation time, we started dispatching the couriers accordingly. So if the restaurant is going to take 10 minutes, I would dispatch a courier who would be able to reach to that restaurant in next 10 minutes.
Correct.
By doing that, I was able to save, I think, 1.5 minutes per order when I was managing hundreds and thousands of orders on a single day. So imagine the kind of efficiency, though this can be called as one prep time algorithm, but it took our tech team probably more than 9 months to establish something.
Of course.
Another example could be, I used to call them delivery fee cheaters. So there are some customers like us, they want to save on delivery fee. So they are very smart. What they do is, for example, if a restaurant is 10 kilometers far from you, definitely your delivery fee would be higher.
Oh.
So intentionally, what they do is they choose their drop-off address to be as close to the restaurant.
Really? This exists?
it exists with roughly 5-7% of the orders.
Okay. We're not giving ideas to people, but, but so, please continue.
So basically, what used to happen, there is a drop-off address in the app of the rider.
Right.
Then the rider reads that drop-off address.
He
basically
calls.
Then he calls the customer or sends a message on the app. Hey, I've reached. Where are you? Then the customer says, hey, man, I'm sorry. My location got changed now. Can you come to this location?
Wow.
And then basically the order has already generated, probably 60-70% of the work has already been done. Now basically please we decide to deliver those orders because the food would get wasted.
Yeah, of course.
Everything would go for a toss. But then when we started seeing this pattern, we had to do something about it. So then what we started measuring was, what was the drop-off address given by the customer and what is the actual drop-off address wherein the rider has clicked on drop-off. And when there was a repetitive pattern by a customer, we used to override the address provided by the customer by the address wherein the rider has delivered in the past. And by doing that, I had reduced my cost of basically calling that customer. The experience was bad. At the same time, when we used to override the address, we used to override the delivery fee as well. So we started generating more revenue on delivery fee.
Interesting approach. But yeah, as you're mentioning, the technology is not only about digitizing, but it's also getting out most of the efficiency in kind of these loopholes.
No, big time. One more example, Kareem, if you allow me. So as you know, in this region, 30-40% of the deliveries are cash deliveries.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And earlier, we were managing all that cash manually. But then with the help of tech, we integrated with thousands of exchange houses across UAE. And the riders started going to those exchanges. They started depositing the money. And then basically, I need not to reconcile at the end of the month how much this rider had cash with him. And based on that, basically get their pay to them. So by automating all the cash reconciliation, all the cash on delivery orders, I think we never used to have those cash flow issues again. At the same time, riders were happy. The customers were happy, the restaurants were able to get their money back in 1 week. And as an entity, as an aggregator, you had control of the cash, which was sitting with the riders until the end of the month.
It's by the way, this cash management is very specific to this region because it's one of the features that you see in our delivery management solution,
okay.
But you don't see it. I mean, more and more you see it somewhere else, but because a lot of the other regions in the world, like the more Western countries, is everybody uses a credit card. No one, barely anyone has cash in their hand. But here, still, there's a lot of cash that goes around. And yes, managing that without some technology becomes a big hassle. Reconciliation, also too much cash. What do you do? Is there a limit that you need to put?
Yeah.
It sends an alarm. Driver has too much money. Please go deposit it or else we can't do any more deliveries.
Absolutely.
So there is a lot on cash management, but very interesting examples on before. You also remind me that it happened that somebody was actually putting a delivery place where the restaurant is delivering, but he's actually outside of the delivery area, very far from the delivery area. And then you know, he gets upset that you're not delivering, but you said like 35 kilometers, like no one does these deliveries.
Right.
But then you have faced two positions. Either you take back the food to the restaurant, tell them, sorry, the guy's wasted, I'll give you back the money, but we're not doing this delivery at 35 kilometers. Or you do it and then you take the costs and you lose time with the driver to go and do the delivery because you don't want to lose the restaurant and go back and waste the food and everything. So.
But that can really help you once you have, like, let's say thousands of these users, once you have a pattern that they can recognize and can override the information.
Correct, 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 correct. Interesting. I mean, I think tech will continue to play, as you say, a very big role. And now with a lot of data, you can do some machine learning and understand and get the patterns, which you mentioned as one example in the prep time, which is a very good example. So what... Let's talk a bit about some of the things that happened within this last mile on-demand delivery that happened in the last 2 years. Some of them seems to die down. Some of them seems to be actually catching up. Two examples comes to mind. Number one is the 15-minute delivery hype of these guys that, you know, like gorillas and so we don't mention any of these here, but like Getir in Turkey, gorillas in Germany. Some of them went out of business. In the US also, there was several attempts. It seems that the model does not correctly work, or maybe we're looking at it in the wrong way. Some of them scaled back. They said, no, 15 minutes, it's half an hour. Or they removed the number of minutes. They say it's quick, but we don't tell you how much. But in the same time, you see this one that really stretched it really to 15 minutes, which, okay, so it's a very short time. The other way, you mentioned retail, that kind of embarked into this on-demand. So last time I was ordering, I think, shoes, and the guy showed up like 45 minutes later. Wow. And I really did not understand, because in my mind when I ordered it, I thought it's going to be delivered next day, or maybe same day if you do delivery like at the end of the day. But then he showed up 45 minutes later, and I actually was not ready for this because I was like, well, why is the shoes here? But it turned out that this company has now decided that they want to do 1 hour delivery for retail. So in the same time, you see retail, like non-food and grocery, trying to embark into closer and closer to the 1 hour. And then food and grocery try to push it, or especially grocery, try to push it into the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I heard in India there was some success in the 15, 30 minutes. Mm. There was one company, I forgot the name.
Too.
Yeah, that seemed to have succeeded, but then you see in the rest of the world did not. And this seems to be successful, but is it really needed? Mm. Maybe something. But let's talk about these kind of, I think, them on the edge experience.
Sure, let's do that. So look, my philosophy so far is, and based on my learning, a quick commerce platform as a standalone quick commerce platform, it's really tough to exist in the market. If you're doing only grocery delivery in 15 minutes, but you're not doing food, you're not doing retail, you're not doing e-commerce, then basically you might not have sufficient demand. At the same time, your demand pattern across 24 hours of the day might be fluctuating quite a lot.
Right.
Now, let's talk about a platform which deliver food, which deliver grocery, which deliver morning, evening, your coffees, which deliver e-commerce orders as well. And every different kind of a segment has a different demand pattern, all spread throughout the 24 hours of the day.
Right.
Now let's start from the morning. If you have a beverage company with you, generally people order their beverages 7 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning. After that, they would like to go for the breakfast. Then the quick commerce order of your dairy products, of your bakery products, they might be placing a quick commerce order. Now the breakfast time comes in, they might be placing their food order. So then there is a gap of next 2 hours. Within those 2 hours, you can deliver your retail orders, your shoe, your electronics, your pharmacy, medicine, anything. So basically, any company, they would like to make their demand pattern as flat as possible all throughout those 24 hours so that your driver is utilized all the time. In the first hour, he could deliver a drink. Second hour, he could deliver grocery. Third hour, he could deliver food. Fourth hour, he could deliver a shoe. And that cycle gets repeated 2 to 3 times within the entire day. That's how these businesses can coexist together. But imagine a retail company or an e-commerce company, they want to deliver in next 15 minutes. Until and unless you are a big conglomerate coming from China and you have hundreds and thousands of deliveries to be done on a daily basis, you might not have sufficient demand to be distributed all across those 10 hours of delivery window during the day. And that's how basically some of the companies have really struggled. They always had to keep the riders outside their dark store dedicated. So the cost of the delivery was very high.
Of course.
But if you want your riders to be keep floating all across the city, that means you need a real good density of a kind of customer who would like to order grocery, food, retail, e-commerce, beverage, any kind of order. So that free floating rider, whenever he's free, whenever an order is coming, he would be able to basically place that order.
So basically what we're saying is a standalone business on these edge examples is not economically viable.
Correct.
Because it puts too much pressure on your structure that you cannot fulfill the promise except if you have very high costs.
Yeah.
But let's talk the example of this company in India. Are they only in grocery? The one that we just discussed?
They're only in grocery.
Yeah. And how come they're succeeding?
Probably it's a perception. So,
because my source is the news, what I've read.
Your source of the news is the funding.
Yeah.
And the perception in people's mind is whosoever is getting funding and they are succeeding.
Right.
No, that's not true.
Okay, fine.
The companies who are not doing good now, I think 4 or 5 years before, even they were cracking $3 million of funding as well. But I think this particular company, they have just started 3 or 4 years before. They are yet to complete that entire cycle of orders.
Fine. Okay, so they're not yet in the period where they have to prove, I want to say, profitable, sustainable profitability. They're really on that growth curve that everybody gone through, and then they kind of discovered that, wait, this is maybe a bit difficult to prove financially sustainable.
That's my reading so far.
Right.
However, they are yet to prove the profitability thing. They are yet to prove their unit economics, the cost dynamics. But as a brand, as a perception among customers, I think they have delivered really well. Though in UAE, we talk about 15 minutes. I see a lot of posts on LinkedIn. People are saying, I got my order in 6 minutes, in 3 minutes. I'm like, that's crazy, man. Probably that dark store needs to be in your building. Or probably,
I don't see how it's possible to be 3 minutes. I've tried some of them. Yeah, they do come between like with less than 15 minutes, some of them 20. But you know, I don't think as a consumer, I'm really paying attention to the minute.
Yeah,
right?
It's
not like usually 15 minutes is really short, right?
Yeah.
By the time you send the order, somebody needs to be in a dark store already packing it, and the guy needs to be in front of you, and he has to cycle or take a bike to get to you. So he's running literally and take an elevator. I mean, it's just,
but that's possible. Again, at a scale, I would like to give you an example of McDonald's from China.
Okay.
So McDonald's in China, I'm not sure about the entire country, but in some areas, their average delivery time is, I think, 8 minutes. How? Again, based on tech. So they know tomorrow how many orders of Mac Veggie, of Mac Maharaja, they are supposed to receive at what time from what particular area.
Right.
So they even keep those orders prepared in advance, even when the time, even before
time. So the guy just comes and picks it up right away.
The preparation time is the key over there.
The zero.
The lower the preparation time, basically it's just a drop of time. Time from the vendor to the customer.
Correct.
And I think 8 minutes look to be a feasible time over there.
I would not be surprised if they already have bags with exactly the order that they've seen before. Like they say, 70% of the order is exactly this trio. So let's prepare bags. And the guy just picks up the bag and leaves. It could be.
Everything is possible.
Everything is possible. But yeah, I mean, again, tech helps a lot because you can see the trends. Okay. And what about the kind of the opposite trend of, you know, more and more retail, traditional retail, trying to deliver faster and faster? Mm-hmm. Do you think this has legs to fly, or is it just kind of only a few examples and it's not going to really pick up?
No, definitely. Look, it is going to pick up. And a lot of companies, I would say e-commerce companies, they've started moving towards same day deliveries. And then after that, some of them have already started doing express on demand, but all of them will have to do it. So I think I was just reading one study, but the businesses are not ready yet. So the study said roughly 80-90% of the consumers expect their e-commerce retail orders to be delivered on demand.
Wow.
However, on the checkout page, hardly 30 to 40% of the businesses are providing multiple delivery options, including on demand or same day.
Correct.
So those businesses say, boss, you place an e-commerce order, I would deliver probably in next 2 to 3 days, even there is not window which is available over there. However, the businesses are aware. The businesses have seen success of food delivery, grocery delivery, and they would like to adapt themselves faster. However, in e-commerce, what most of the companies are doing is they are integrating their APIs with third-party delivery companies.
Right.
Those e-commerce companies or retail companies, they don't have the expertise in-house. I mean, 89% of them to do deliveries on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they do is they integrate their APIs with an on-demand delivery company. Whenever order comes in, basically they just send that request to that third-party on-demand company. Whenever the courier is available, the courier comes to the fulfillment center or a mini micro fulfillment center, and that's where the handshake happened and then the delivery happened. So in that sector, the businesses need to adapt themselves really well as per the needs of the customers. But the day is far when e-commerce can become quick commerce of today.
No, of course. I mean, also needs, again, also the fact that you don't sometimes have the item close by, right?
Yeah.
So if you order a shirt or like a shoe, maybe your size is not in the closest shop, so that has to come from somewhere else. Then it's difficult also
right.
to manage from an inventory perspective.
Right.
Food is a bit easier because items are more standardized
right.
in general. But okay. Maybe let's maybe switch on a bit, kind of the future. Like, how do you see things evolving now? Like, okay, we've got to this point now.
Mm.
You know, everybody's talking about, you know, ML, AI, which you mentioned a bit. But where do you see things evolving now in on-demand?
We are calling it on-demand, but the perception is on-demand of food, grocery, to some extent, some electronics items. My idea is, I think, everything is going to be on demand in the next 5 years. This table, this mic, this light.
Everything.
Everything. The car, your furniture, your medicine, even prescription-based medicine. You talk about anything. Even now, if you don't talk about delivery or logistics, now the services have started coming to your home. If you talk about Medicare, the doctor can come to your home. That lab technician, he can come to your home. He can take your sample and then basically you will receive your lab report. So now the time and the people are getting so busy and they got so habitual by this food grocery tech. They want everything to be delivered or every service to be delivered at their home.
Right.
So I think the time is moving too fast, but the businesses are not able to adapt too fast as per those consumer needs. UAE definitely is over the moon. They are growing and they are adapting things very, very fast. But I think the businesses, the local governments, the technology needs to adapt really very fast as per the changing, evolving needs of the customer. So I'm just cautious of a day, even when I think right now in government documents are being delivered probably next 1 day, 2 day.
Correct.
You
yes.
get your passport, your Emirates ID in next 3-4 days. Now I think there's a regulation which came in UAE. You can get your visa, Emirates ID, everything done in 5 days. I'm estimating that would be probably a couple of days or probably a couple of hours in next few years. And everything would be on demand. You talk about anything in your wildest dreams, everything would be on demand. That's where the world is moving.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, when you see it, it's, everything is converging. What started from food, grocery, pharmacies, now retail, and everything is trying to converge to become like part of the on-demand world.
Yes. People need services at home.
Right.
So they don't want to go out. They want to have their TV on, place an order, watch Netflix, enjoy everything, and let the person come to you, deliver the services at your home. And I'm sure that kind of a mindset, that kind of a behavioral change will let everything come to your home rather than you going to take the service at a particular place.
Okay, not good for not moving a lot, but okay, I'll take it as it is. Well, listen, Agam, thank you very much for being our guest today. It was a pleasure having you. I mean, that's it for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining another episode, and see you next time.